through work, so they can't get there in the direct relationship of take the amount of money that I want to make for the year, divide it by the number of work hours there are in a year. Oh, that's what my time has to be worth. First of all, you, of course, on the negative side, you can never get all the hours to be worth the same. On the positive side, we need leverage. We rarely can get to our kind of numbers purely through work, so we need leverage. So we have to pick and choose the things that we invest our time in more strategically than just a manual labor allocated to hours formula. So it is more complicated. If you think about Trump, as an example, the hours he spends doing the show are probably, in direct compensation, the lowest paid hours of his entire life, yet they may have the greatest leverage because the prominence of television has, by all accounts, led to the Trump Organization getting an extra 2 or 3, or in some cases 4 points above the norm for free of equity in every real estate project that they lend their name to, not to mention the licensing of the brand to all sorts of other products. And so those hours buying that leverage are hours very well invested.
So on the keeping of this topic of wealth, I think you'll agree that no matter how productive a person actually makes himself, you just simply can't work your way to wealth. And so what beyond being super productive does a person need to do to get past just a good income or an average income or even, let's say, a above average income to, say, a seven-figure income and its ability to actually spin off wealth?
Well, I there's actually a lot of answers to it. You're absolutely right, of course. Even those of us who manage to create what I would call extreme pay, so the really high-paid neurosurgeon, the really high-paid direct response copywriter, et cetera, that can be a nice piece of the puzzle, but it's generally not enough. So you have to get into different forms of leverage, and that now forces us to think about how we invest our time in ways that not necessarily directly create income in that hour. Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but that supports and facilitates a lot of other income other ways. So we are often investing our time to buy leverage, not exchanging our time for compensation. So a few examples. One would be creating multiplication. So if you think back to, we can sort of use your path as an example of multiplication. So at one point you're creating extraordinarily effective advertising, but only for your own stores. So its value is limited. There's only 3 stores. And no matter how effective the advertising is, fundamentally, there's only so many people that are going to come through the doors before the 4 walls couldn't handle them. It'd be impossible to have enough inventory to sell anymore, et cetera, et cetera. But when you take all that same highly effective advertising and you use it, package it up and use it as a basis for something to be sold to 3,000 other stores, now you have multiplication. And so it takes you the same hour to create the sprinkler ad, whether you use it only for your own store or whether you're able to, in one way or another, sell it to 3,000 other store owners. It took the same hour to create it. So one kind of leverage is multiplication. Another kind of leverage, a big one, is effective use of media. And so you think of the guy now being profiled on CNBC, getting his own reality show, the pitch guy, Billy Mays, who sells stuff on TV. Everybody's seen him, guy with the beard, yells a lot, waves his arms. You know, Billy started out selling stuff on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, just like a guy you might see at your state fair in a tent. And Ed McMahon was one of those guys, and Ron Popeil was one of those guys. Now Billy Mays has come from them. Well, the busiest boardwalk in the world. You can only gather so many people, but TV gives you virtually an endless audience. TV basically allowed Guthrie Renker to build a skincare and cosmetics company rivaling Mary Kay in sales in 36 months and do what it took them decades to do. Online media obviously falls in this category. So, again, an hour used to learn and understand how to use a particular application of media or to create something to be fed through media, that same hour used to sell face-to-face or even one-to-many through manual labor does not have anywhere near the same amount of value. Another category is future compensation for past work. So that's brand licensing, as in Trump's case, Disney's case, et cetera. That's somebody like Seinfeld who gets residuals long after the work of doing the show has ended. Authors, in my case, copywriter who gets a royalty long after the work has been done. Another piece of leverage is actually increasing the size of the opportunity to which you apply your skills to. And a great deal of people, the problem really isn't even how their skill level, their knowledge level, or how they use their time. It is that they are investing all of that in an opportunity that has finite limits. I talk about people with a skill level of 9 who have trapped themselves in an opportunity that is a 4. And so sometimes that's selling to less affluent clientele when you could be selling to more affluent clientele in using the same amount of time and the same amount of effort, but at 4 times the prices. That's an easy example of, you know, of that. So there's many more. But those are examples of this issue of investing your time to buy leverage rather than exchanging your time for compensation.